of the phrenic nerve. C345 keeps the diaphragm alive, are popular with medical students everywhere, this one. The phrenic nerve... Oh, hang on, let's start my timer. Stop cheating. Come on. Right, 5 minutes on the clock. Most people know about the phrenic nerve because it innervates the diaphragm. But it also does a few other things. So let's talk about the anatomy first. The phrenic nerve comes from spinal nerve roots, C3, C4 and C5 in the neck. This is because embryologically, when we're an embryo, we're a lot shorter. And really, the diaphragm forms some structures that are closer to the neck and then descends as the embryo gets longer. So the phrenic nerve forms in the neck from spinal nerve roots C3, C4 and C5. And then it's going to descend then to the diaphragm. So it descends. Well, it appears first on the anterior scalene muscles. So the brachial plexus is also appearing from between the anterior and middle scalene muscles. The phrenic nerve then is nearby, but it passes anteriorly and runs on the anterior surface of the anterior scalene muscle, which makes it very easy for me to find when I'm dissecting. And then it runs inferiorly into the chest and it's going to pass between the subclavian vein and the subclavian artery to get there. And then as it descends through the chest, it's going to run anterior to those structures at the root of the lung. So if you imagine that you've got the airways and the pulmonary vessels going out to the lungs, that's the root of the lung there. So we mean that the phrenic nerves are going anterior to all of that stuff. And then we're at the heart. So it's going to run around the heart in the fibrous pericardium, and it's going to innervate the fibrous pericardium. Now, the right phrenic nerve will run down to the diaphragm, and it's going to go through the opening for the inferior vena cava to get to the inferior surface of the diaphragm. And the left phrenic nerve is going to do similarly. It's going to run down to the diaphragm and it's actually going to pierce through the diaphragm to get to the inferior surface of the diaphragm. So what is the phrenic nerve doing when it gets there then? Well, that's the important bit. It's motor to the diaphragm. The diaphragm is a skeletal muscle. You can choose to move it, and it's the phrenic nerve that's driving the movement of that skeletal muscle. So it's innervating the skeletal muscle of the diaphragm. Really, of course, there are two phrenic nerves, a left one and a right one. So each phrenic nerve is motor to half the diaphragm. So if one phrenic nerve is injured, the other half of the diaphragm will still be innervated. It's also sensory from the diaphragm, like pain, proprioception. There are a few other nerves involved as well, because the diaphragm is anchored to the chest wall and there are other nerves nearby. Intercostal nerves, and it's sensory from the pericardium, but it's also sensory from other nearby structures. So the pleura in the chest near the pericardium, it's sensory from that. The parietal peritoneum in the abdomen on that inferior surface of the diaphragm, it's sensory from some of that as well. If you run and you get a stitch, there are probably multiple causes for a stitch, but a stitch describes that pain you get in your side and it's difficult to breathe, and it's usually on the right side, and sometimes that pain then goes to the shoulder. So the liver's on the right side. As you're running and bouncing around, the liver is probably moving up and down and irritating either the diaphragm or that parietal peritoneum that are innervated by the phrenic nerve, and that irritation is then sent through the phrenic nerve back to the spinal cord and back to the brain, giving you that pain. Now, we said that the phrenic nerve comes from C345, those spinal roots in the neck, and there are other nerves that go to the skin of the shoulder that come from the same level of the spinal cord. So that referred pain to the shoulder, and you can also get this after surgery. So if somebody's had abdominal surgery, sometimes they get pain referred to the shoulder, and it's because of the phrenic nerve. The pain is coming from the diaphragm or the peritoneum lining the diaphragm, but the brain perceives that pain information entering the spinal cord at that level as maybe coming from the shoulder. So you get shoulder pain, but there's not really any pain up there. If you get a stitch on the left, by the way, it's likely to be after you've had a big drink. So the stomach is also filled with water and it's big and heavy and bouncing around and irritating the diaphragm on the left side. So those are the functions of the phrenic nerve. Now, the phrenic nerve can be injured in the neck by surgery or by trauma. Or maybe by an expanding tumour in the neck or the chest, or by a range of neuropathies. And if the phrenic nerve is injured, then you get paralysis of half the diaphragm. Oh, my time is about to go. Right, now, when you breathe in, your diaphragm contracts. It flattens, it pulls down. So if the phrenic nerve on one side is injured, the diaphragm on that same side is now paralyzed or weak. When you breathe in, the diaphragm on the opposite side will pull down, but because of the change in pressure inside the chest, the diaphragm on the injured side will get pulled up by that pressure. You get this paradoxical movement. So as you breathe in, instead of the diaphragm moving down, it moves up on the injured side, which is not ideal, right? But an interesting idea to consider. Anyway, that's the anatomy of the phrenic nerve, and that's what it does. Oh, by the way, chuck in a final one. Because it's sensory from the pericardium, inflammation of the pericardium, pain from the pericardium might also get referred to the shoulder or shoulders, maybe both sides. So if somebody's got chest pain and pain in the shoulders on both sides, consider the phrenic nerve, consider the pericardium, whereas pain from the myocardium of the heart tends to just get referred to the left side. Right, I really should stop talking. See you next week.